Hi, and welcome to The Literary Sipper. I'm Amber Beattie Hill, your host, and today we are going to talk about Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being. There are so many craft books out there. How to write, how to draw, how to sing, how to be fearless when you're creating, how to do better portraits in 10 minutes, how to live a writer's life. But there are very few that are trying to capture the nebulous, the mystical concept of creativity, and how we all can access it. And by accessing what's intuitive in us, the desire to create, our entire life becomes a meditation on creativity. And that is what I think Rick Rubin has accomplished in this book. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say go out and buy another book and spend your precious time reading when you could be spending your time creating. But what I like about how he organizes this book is that every small vignette is almost like a devotional for the day. And you can start it in any place and you can use it as you need it. And it doesn't take a lot of time to capture a small nugget of the philosophy that he has around creating music specifically, but all creative acts. And his years of meditation and the creative pursuits that he has engendered over the years have put him in this unique position to talk about creativity and to surface as this Gen X guru that in a lot of ways created the soundtrack to our angst and our adolescence. And it's not easy for me because I can find Rick Rubin to be a divisive figure in some ways, and especially for feminists. I mean, I love the Beastie Boys, but Rick was the one who got rid of Kate Schellenbach as a drummer. And he also encouraged the songs and identities to become more boisterous, more frat boy with songs like Girls. And it just smacked at pro wrestling. If you know anything about his history, he was very much a NYU bro who wanted to model himself after the pro wrestling managers of the 80s, late 70s and early 80s. And that was such a misogynistic culture. But I think when Adam Yauch kind of recanted in the 90s all of those early ways of being, and he himself grew in his own self-discovery and grew as a global citizen, I think that Rick Rubin also began to grow and began to change. And I can blame it all on the industry. What makes money, what sells, you have to get in to one door or another. But I will say this, now that he knows better, I think he's doing better. And in that way, I can respect this book as accessible to all male and female creatives and anyone in between. I think he has a lot of useful kernels of truth, affirmations, and things to think about as you enter into whatever your next phase of creativity is. There are three takeaways from this book, and I want to sort of talk about them for just a little bit. The first is to try everything. And I am a huge fan of this idea, is that there are no bad ideas. There are just unspoken ideas. And if you combine basic elements over and over again, you get predictable outcomes. But if you try something new, if you allow yourself to be in a beginner space in that mindset, then something that might seem unusual or even unexpected or even scary can then lead to something great. And if you dismiss an idea right away as being trite or overused or above your pay grade or whatever dismissal you're about to articulate, you might miss out on something great. And this is in the creative act, the beginning is this open, huge funnel. And after a while, you'll distill it into the sound or the vehicle that is most uniquely yours. He says, allow the work to grow in the direction it seeks, evolve in accordance with its natural state, and have its own life. Enjoy the journey of cycling through all permutations to reveal a work's true form. And this, I think, is a great nugget to take away from your listening today, which is that every permutation is just going to lead to something different. And who you are when you're creating it is a snapshot of a moment in time. It's not who you're going to be forever. It's not the best album. It's just your next album. And if you can have that spirit of trying new things and seeing what you like and seeing what works and learning what you don't like and learning what doesn't work for you, all of these lead to paths that are more true and uniquely authentic to your voice as an artist. The second takeaway from the book that I think is important to mention here is, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? What is it all for? And having a sense of purpose in your work. Now, purpose isn't product. And this is kind of what I spoke about last week in our episode on creativity and trying prompts and trying new things. It is about spending too much time on the question of why am I doing this? And not enough time recognizing that if we like what we're doing, if we like the process, we don't have to know why. We just have to keep moving forward. He says, sometimes the reasons are obvious, sometimes not, and they can change over time. It could be good for any of a thousand different reasons. When we're making things we love, our mission is accomplished. There's nothing at all to figure out. And it leads me to this question of, what is the role of the audience? What is the role of the reader? What is the role of the viewer if you're making a film or a visual and some visual medium? And there is a relationship there between the artist and the audience that is part of the experience. You're making this thing to share with others. But once it leaves your purview, they're going to have their own experience with it. And even though your purpose and your why might be something you want to shout from the rooftops, it has nothing to do with the audience reception of that piece. It is only your interpretation of the feelings you had when you were making it. And that will change over time. When you look at poems that you wrote when you were 14, at the time you were writing them, it was very important for you to use that word or that image or try that meter or rhyme. But when you look at them at 50, you see something else entirely. You see maybe the person you were. Maybe you see that you were borrowing heavily from a writer that you were reading for the first time and wanting to emulate. But who you are at 50 incorporates all of those why. And if you're lucky enough to keep doing the medium that you love, then it doesn't matter why you're doing it. It's just a part of you. And it is honoring that part of you that feels the need to create. And the last takeaway from the book that I'll offer here, and again, I do highly recommend reading it. I do highly recommend keeping it on your shelf as a little mini way to be inspired when you're kind of feeling blah. It's allows you to meditate for a little bit on something small, a small vignette, and then get that is encouraging you to get back into the moment of creation. But he talks about inspiration, and in it he talks about the quality and the quantity of the download. That is what he's talking about, how to define inspiration. And he says, what defines inspiration is the quality and quantity of the download. At a speed so instantaneous, it seems impossible to process. Inspiration is the rocket fuel powering our work. It is a universal conversation we yearn to be a part of. But he goes on to say that it's not something you wait for. You are going to have those moments. You will have those moments as a creative. But they are not going to be every day, and they are not going to be incessant, and they are not going to be constant. That's why you need to try everything. That's why you need to take breaks. That's why you need to pair one art form with another art form so you can constantly be informing yourself with clear and steady hands to a new enterprise that's going to feed your old enterprise. And this is the idea that inspiration only strikes the talented is something he dismisses. And of course, I've dismissed all of the time. Everyone has the capacity to create, and everyone should incorporate the creative act into their way of being, and thus the title of the book. So now you have to ask yourself, what is it that you really want? Are you willing to accept the ebbs and flows of the process of creativity? And are you willing to make more art and then let it go? Sometimes you let it go to an audience, but sometimes you just let it go in favor of the next thing. This is a great book to open up, again, as a short artistic devotional, small vignettes. They can inspire you before you begin your day, your project, your editing, whatever it is. It makes a great gift. And just for the record, I highly recommend going to look at pictures of his house. I want to live in his house. It has white walls and leather couches and a perfect stereo. And the people who enter it are the most important of all. I hope you're well. I hope you're creating. And I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to The Literary Sipper. I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something new. If you did, please subscribe and leave a rating and review if you're feeling especially generous. Until next time, keep reading, keep writing, and keep putting your voice in the world. It's waiting for you.